It was thousands of years ago that the Cushites built this Tower of Babel. But they weren't alone in building and building towers. It was 700 years before the birth of Christ that the Great Wall of China was begun in construction. 6,000 kilometers fortification that was completed by the Ming Dynasty in 1644. It was the London Tower that was built in 1078, taking 321 years to be completed in all of its glory. It was August 13th, 1961, that the Berlin Wall was built almost overnight in order to keep refugees from leaving East Berlin, walls to divide and separate. It was the barrier in Jerusalem and on the West Bank that was begun in 2004 and has been adapted and expanded and reinforced ever since. Its shadows and insinuations of a wall between America and Mexico that started in the public discourse not so long ago in our recent memory. Somehow, as anxiety rises, walls and towers and fortresses do as well. From thousands of years ago towards today, bricks laid upon bricks, concrete poured out on concrete, piece by piece. They sought, it says, to make a name for themselves, a desire for fame and security, and anxiety driving those decisions all along. Can you imagine a time in which the known world was united in language and in words, when the known world was familiar one with another, and perhaps a little full of itself? I'm almost imagining a little bit cocky with kind of that strident uniformity. The known world that imagined everything it had was desirable and necessary. Differences not tolerated. Diversity anathema. Unity only as uniformity. In this world I describe, the people of Cush begin to fashion a tower. Why, you might find yourself asking? Verse 4 that Rain read for us includes that phrase. The people wanted to make a name for themselves. The Midrash, that is the Jewish commentary of the time, says there's all kinds of reasons, maybe, for this. Maybe if we build a tower, we'll show how great our skills are. Maybe if we build a tower, we don't need God quite so much. We can figure it out ourselves. Maybe we don't need God's name. Folks will just all know the ones who built the tower. And most humorously in the Midrash, they write these old rabbis. Maybe they just wanted to see if God had a big toe or not. Climb the tower and see what God looks like. With one language, the Cushites had incredible power. You know, friends, language is powerful. Those of us who name have the power as to how others understand. So choosing one language means limiting who has the power. Those who build up towers of expectation, those who lend prestige to outshine all the others. So I imagine they lived in this fortress mentality. Let's see if this is familiar to you. You and I, we live in a fortress mentality when we can only be safe when we know and understand it all. We live in a fortress mentality when we're only comfortable when we have the full knowledge of what's going on around us. We live in a fortress mentality when we have to wait behind walls for others to come see us. We live in a fortress mentality when security for some is more important than basic rights for others. Our fortress mentality is about anxiety and a need for control. The theologian Reinhold Niebuhr says anxiety is the source of all of our sin. That is not to say anxiety is sin. That is to say you and I are both limited and limitless and not sure how it's all going to work out. The paradox of freedom and finiteness leads us to where we often sin. In our anxiety, we forget sometimes that we are one of many. We place sometimes our needs before the needs of others, and we lose track of the wider world. Like those who built the Tower of Babel, our known world gets smaller and smaller and smaller until we're only living in the fortress that we've built. The Tower of Babel fell shortly after its construction. You caught that from the reading. God who sees and God who acts, not to oppose humanity. God's real clear. Let's hear it again. But God who gathers humanity by giving the gift of creativity and diversity. Not a God who is a bully, like the big kid knocking down the little kid's tower. We've often interpreted this passage as one of punishment. But the Tower of Babel is about liberation and restoration. In fact, in the global south, most of our world, as this is preached on a worship experience, this story is one of your own liberation. You don't have to do it all yourself. Those who've sought to limit to one way, one understanding, one language, were foiled. God had a bigger plan. God's liberation for us who understand there is more to God than we understand at one moment. Implied in this story is not the conflict between God and humanity. It's the conflict between humanity and humanity. It's the conflict that parents and children have. It's the conflict that haves and have-nots have. It's the conflict between this language is better than that language. It's the conflict between oppressor and oppressed. You see, my friends, Babel is our first worldedness when we think we've got it all figured out and we can build the tower that's the highest and that's the strongest. Language is only the tip of that iceberg. The antidote to Babel in the scripture is so very clear. Pentecost is the antidote to Babel, where the Holy Spirit is with each of us, the educated and the uneducated, the articulate and the daft, the committed and the apathetic who don't really care so much, the fundamentalist and the open-ended. It's in Pentecost where the fullness of God's Spirit is lived out. The way of God spread from the known world to the parts yet unknown. Not just the Jewish world, but where the Greeks were and where the Gentiles were, where Rome was and beyond. All languages are then used for God's glory, not just one that could be built up in hubris. In God's wisdom, the hubris of humanity in Babel is language. The nearness of God in Pentecost is language. Our God is always redeeming that which separates us to be that which draws us nearer to God. But the pool of Babel is our pool. As our anxiety level rises, don't we find ourselves clinging on to control? Don't we find ourselves saying uniformity is the way to go? When God desires that we use all of the gifts that God has given us, this was God's aspiration after the flood. As we go forth and multiply, you remember the Noah's Ark part of this story, that we might reflect the creativity and the diversity of who God is. The unity that God desires is that all God's people are in relationship with God. Not that they all use the same language to communicate in that way. So some days, you and I, we live a little bit more like children of Babel. We get frustrated and we get anxious and we want the world to look a particular way. We want everyone to be like us. But God continues to call us to be a children of the Pentecost, in which our diversity is not our downfall, but is the conduit through which the Spirit reaches all of God's people. We heard those familiar words in John 14. I bet you've heard them at a funeral or two. It's my peace I leave you, my peace I give you, peace in the face of anxiety, peace in the face of diversity, peace in the face of God's creativity. Peace as we draw closer to God, knowing that we're not the only ones drawing nearer to God, but necessarily is drawing nearer to God, unity with all those who are as well. It was on November 9th, 1989, that the Berlin Wall was torn down. I imagine as us gathered here, some of us remember that day. I actually told my mother, I can remember it well, we need a new globe at home because the world changed and that line isn't there anymore. It was in a 2013 visit to the Berlin Wall that our former president said this: "The fact that we can stand here today along a fault line in a place that was divided speaks to an eternal truth. No wall can stand against the yearning of justice, the yearning of freedom, the yearning of peace that God has put in human hearts. That eternal truth is God's peace." So on this day, if you find yourself building towers or living in a fortress, we might, you and I, have moments where we feel like there's a big bully who might just come along and knock down our towers and expose us for the anxiety that we're carrying. Prayerfully consider that the God of all creation, from the duck-billed platypus to the engineering ants, urges us to draw nearer to God, not by building up a tower higher and higher into the sky, but drawing nearer to God by loving God's world, diversity, and all. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.